This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. A squealing saxophone is a sound usually associated with rhythm and blues, jazz, and rock and roll. But when Vernard Johnson plays the saxophone, he plays gospel music. And although he plays in churches, not clubs, he plays with raucous abandon. Johnson started playing the alto as a teenager in spite of his terrible asthma. He played jazz and rhythm and blues until he was saved at the age of 17. He says when he started playing for the Lord, his asthma was healed. In the mid-60s, Johnson performed at Southern Tent Revivals. Now he's a star of the gospel circuit and has performed in churches around the world. He's recorded many gospel albums. His one recording for a secular label was released in 1991 as part of the Elektra Nonesuch American Explorer series, celebrating the varied roots of American music. The album is called I'm Alive. I spoke with Johnson shortly after the album was released. Let's start with Lord Help Me to Hold Out from his album I'm Alive.
Radio announcers all around America thought I was a joke. They thought this is just, it couldn't be a real gospel saxophone when I first started, you know. And they said, this is just something that fly-by-night novelty. It will never take off. And so they wouldn't play me at first.
What about churches? Would churches want you to play saxophone?
Many churches didn't want to have me. And they didn't want to take the risk of saying that they had a quote-unquote, a devil's instrument in the church, you know, saxophone.
So what makes saxophone such a profane instrument? Is it because of its association with rhythm and blues and jazz?
I don't think so. It's really not a profane instrument.
I meant that in quotation marks.
Yeah, I understand. It's a wonderful instrument. But because it has been used so thoroughly in the clubs and to play rock and jazz, you know, So I think that's the reason why they said, well, it shouldn't be in the church because it's used in the clubs all the time and people dance to it and everything else. So when I started playing gospel saxophone in the church, they had to get used to it. I mean, you know, they had to see that it could be used for the glory of God.
When you started playing gospel saxophone, did you work then with choirs? Because now you can listen to you and say, well, I know that's gospel music because there's a gospel choir. So, you know, even though you're not used to a saxophone, you can tell it's gospel music. But if you took away the choir, it would be less, it would be more, more ambiguous. So were you playing with a choir at first?
You know, not much. I had a few background singers kind of to interpret what I was trying to say on sax. But then there were just certain songs that I would play solo, but they would be familiar tunes. Like I'd play a song called Never Grow Old. I'd play Precious Lord, Take My Hand. You know, Precious Lord, Take My Hand. You know, and then I'd Amazing Grace. You know, Amazing Grace and a few others, but everybody knew the tunes. So when I'd start playing those songs, they'd say, oh, yes, I know that song. That's gospel. But then I have the ability, and I think thanks to God, I have the ability to compose. And when I do my original material, I always include voices so they can interpret what I'm saying because it has a little beat with it sometimes, most of the time, you know. I'm alive. I'm alive. You know, and you got to have singers behind you saying it because if the horn goes, you know, people will understand what you're trying to say on your horn. They say, oh, that's not gospel. But as soon as you put the group, I'm alive, I'm alive, you know, so you put the group with them and they say, hey, that's gospel. So you got to keep some singers to interpret what you're saying.
How do you think your sound changed when you were saved?
It became more mellow, very rich tone, more just a tremendous depth to my music. You know, the sound, you might say, like it was kind of yearning, whining, like from the heart. You know.
Well, there's this cry in your
like
sound.
Like a cry. That's it right there. Like a cry in my sound. Like I'm begging. You know. You know, if I'm playing Amazing Grace, it's, if I'm getting that part, I once, oh, I once was lost, you know, but oh, but now, you know, it's begging, oh, now I'm found, yeah, you know, from my heart. Was blind, but now, oh, I, it just pleads, you know. My horn sounds, it pleads like I'm singing, you know. And that's from, I'm singing from my heart, and I'm about to get happy on your radio show. I know you don't want me to do that, but I feel good. Excuse me here. Yeah.
Let's hear something from the new record. The record's called I'm Alive. We're featuring a 1991 interview with gospel saxophonist Vernard Johnson. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. Gospel saxophonist Vernard Johnson is my guest. Religion in America is really still pretty segregated, but you've played in black churches and mm-hmm. in white churches.
Right.
You've even played on TV in what is basically a very white ministry
uh-huh.
type
right.
of programs. What's enabled you to go back and forth like that?
You know, I've wondered about that myself. I was born in Kansas City, and, you know, I was raised in the black church. I have a black background and black religion, black church, you might say. And, in fact, I went to school at Sumner High School. I didn't even go to school with any whites at all or browns until I reached college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I went to all black grade school, all black junior high and high school. When I got to college, you know, we had all these things we were wondering about because I lived in a black community. I had been black all my life. Amen. Black baby, black boy, black man. I didn't know anything about anybody else but black folks. So I got to college. But to answer your question, I went to Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary when I finished my bachelor's degree. After college, I went to seminary, and that gave me, you might say, a more broader background with the Southern Baptists. Then the National Baptists wrapped their arms around me. The Methodists wrapped their arms around me. And it's something about when you get the learning as well as the burning, that people learn to accept what you have to say, and that they'll receive your music even more. I don't know, it's something about Americans and even people overseas that when you have prepared yourself, they seem to say, aha, you know, I want to hear what he has to say, and they'll accept you more. I don't know why.
What are some of the things that really surprised you when you first started playing in white churches?
Well, you know, I was used to folks shouting, you know. When I get the blowing, you know, folks say, yes, sir, oh, glory, you know, all that, and get up and do the holy dance. You know, I was used to people doing that. Well, you get to playing in white churches, they don't shout no more, but, you know, all they do is just cry a little bit, and you don't know if you're really getting over until you get through it. They give you a standing ovation. If they really love your music, they give you a standing ovation if you move them, or if God moved them through you. But while you're in the midst of it, I mean, you don't know where you are. You got to take, just have trust God that you're doing all right. But when you're playing for black folks, and I hope nobody's offended, I just really have a lot of fun with you. But when you're playing for black folks, this is true, though. When you're playing for black folks, they let you know where you are. They talk back to you. You can say, the Lord is good. They say, yes, sir. I mean, you know, and I woke up this morning and I found out the Lord had, it wasn't an alarm clock who woke me up. They said, no. It was the Lord who woke me up. They say, yes, sir. And whatever you say, they're going to talk back to you. But the other situations, I mean, you know, my God, you know, it's just like real quiet, you know, like you're playing for a Methodist church, white Methodist, real quiet. You play for a white Baptist, real quiet. And then at the end, I mean, you might see them, you know, wipe a tear. And I'm not making fun. I'm just telling you what happens, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Then they'll give you a standing ovation. But that's good, though. I enjoy that. But give me my black folks to talk back to me any day. I want some talking back.
Now, you've played on programs like the 700 Club and
yes,
the PTL Club.
Right.
And no offense to anyone here, but with the exception of Jimmy Swaggart, mm-hmm, the music is just like the squarest music on the shows. And you are so really out of context.
Yeah,
because you play with such abandon, and it's so jazz and rhythm and blues influenced, mm-hmm, and it's so different from that real like four square kind of singing that you usually hear on those shows. I wonder how you felt being on them, if you felt out of context.
I feel fine. If they let me blow, I'll blow. I just wonder how they feel, because I'm not changing my style. I'm just going on. I might adjust a little bit, you know, try to pull it back a little bit for them so it won't really shock them so much. But I'm going to be Bernard Johnson. In the end, it's going to come out Bernard Johnson.
Now, your father was a minister, so you grew up
right.
In the church. What kind of ministry did he have?
He was a pastor of the Church of God in Christ. I grew up in the Church of God in Christ. And my dad pastored the Church of God in Christ in Kansas City, Kansas. He just passed about a year ago. And that's where I get all this jubilistic background from, because, you know, we call them the saints. The saints would get happy and, you know, we'd play in the church, play the music, and it would be a joyous, jubilistic time.
I really love your music, and I'm very moved by it, but it's also like really kind of invigorating. But I wonder how you feel about someone like me who really feels they're reached by your music, but not necessarily in a religious way.
Well, you know, I'm excited about it. I really am. If I can help somebody as I go along, if I can cheer someone with a word or a song, if I can show someone who's out there in life taking drugs or any other way that they're going wrong, then my living will not be in vain. And if my music can reach someone, even not in a religious way, but to touch their hearts and give them a sense of feeling better about themselves and lifting their spirits, I feel like I've helped. I feel like my living's not in vain. And so I'm excited about it. I'm excited that you even like my music, if you do.
I do.
I'm excited that you would even listen to my music. And if there's anybody out there who has never heard my music, I would be so honored. I mean, so thrilled, even if you just give me a listen.
Bernard Johnson, it was a pleasure to meet you.
Oh,
thank you very much for
privilege.
Being here.
I had a lot of fun talking with you.
Bernard Johnson, his latest album, I'm Alive, is on Elektra Nonesuch. He has a new recording coming out in January on his own label, VJ Records. This is Fresh Air.